Sunday Surefire Podcast. I'm your host, the Commish. Joining me today is the co-host, Aaron Downtown Brown.
Hey, hey.
And the other co-host, Ethan Weaver.
Commish, how we doing?
We are doing pretty well, boys. It is officially April, which means it is NFL Draft Month, which is one of the most fun months on the NFL calendar, especially in the offseason. This is where the prospect talk starts heating up. It's where all the mock drafts talk starts heating up. And that's actually what we're going to be focusing on in this episode today. We're going to actually going over Daniel Jeremiah's most recent mock draft, his mock draft 3.0. And we're going to be focusing on the offensive skill players that he has being selected in the first round. We're going to be covering 11 players in total. So all the guys are going to be quarterbacks, receivers, or tight ends. Spoiler alert, there's not a first-round running back in Jeremiah's mock draft 3.0, which is not really a surprise in this year's class, but we have a ton to get to. But it's that time of year, and we're really looking forward to touching on these prospects because those rookie drafts are coming up. And we're definitely going to be squared away here at Sunday Surefire. But if you're slacking on your preparation, or you know you got a busy month coming up, you can still reach out to us. You could do so using the Did It app. That's DIDIT, and essentially what that does, it gets you connected with experts like us. And you can essentially get a set up a FaceTime call where you're carving out some one-on-one time with an expert to talk about anything you want. We can talk about your dynasty roster, what your short and long-term goals are. We can help you with the draft here, what are draft picks you got. If you're not prepared on your own right to do so, but no problem, we got you covered on that. Or even maybe if you're weighing a big trade or having just a general strategy question, we're definitely just one quick phone call away on the Did It app. So make sure you're checking that out. It's for Apple users only at the moment, but definitely a great resource. And check us out on there. Again, that's DIDIT, Did It. And we've been doing some big things here with this mock. I think it's going to be a good episode here where we touch on these players. And just keep in mind here that as we go, that this is not exactly how the draft will unfold. And none of these experts, as good as they are, none of them get it exactly right. So a lot of the commentary here is going to be centered around what happens in this exercise and then kind of the fallout of that. So we'll touch somewhat on the prospects themselves. Certainly we'll definitely touch on some of the ripple effects of the teams that they're landing on. So some of the other guys on their rosters. And then I'll also go as far as to tell you that if this exact scenario played out, where I would have these players ranked in a 12 team super flex draft. Just keep in mind here, of course, that things could change in the next few weeks here. You never know what pops up last minute. So everything here was subject to change based on what actually happens in the NFL and how the process plays out. But that's a long-winded way of saying that we are officially underway with our first NFL mock draft. So let's get right away here. Get rolling. 101, the Chicago Bears select. Drum roll, please. Yeah, there's no drama with this one, is there, boys? Caleb Williams out of USC. The writing is on the wall with this one here. The Bears are just choosing to reset around a guy who really has been the kind of the consensus 101 in the 2024 draft for at least 2 years at this point in Caleb Williams. So Ethan, I guess we'll start with you, my man. Like, talk to me about Caleb Williams to Chicago and what you think it means for the Bears franchise and for the other players on that team.
Well, first of all, I wish the Bears put the pieces around Justin Fields, but that's a talk for another day. I think Caleb Williams is definitely going to be the 101. That's where my money would be. And it's pretty obvious, I believe, at this point. I think he's going to go to a really good situation with DJ Moore, Keenan Allen, a nice young tight end, Cole Kmet. They just brought in DeAndre Swift. So I actually really like what the Chicago Bears are doing. And I think Caleb Williams is going to be able to be very successful early on if he can make the jump and he can prove, hopefully, the Bears right to take him 101. But I think this is a pretty obvious pick. There won't be much drama on draft night. And if he goes to the Chicago Bears, if you need a QB in your dynasty league, even if you don't need a QB, I think it's going to be pretty tough to pass up on Caleb Williams with the 101. I know on Marvin Harrison Jr., he's kind of climbing up there. He's been mocked at the 101 a ton in dynasty rookie mock drafts. But in super flex leagues, it's tough to pass up a guy like Caleb Williams with the current roster that surrounds him.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with that. I mean, I think there's some Caleb Williams naysayers out there, but yeah, I remember this guy was in the running for Heisman his sophomore year in Oklahoma, right? So I think this guy, he definitely has the skills. I know they kind of compare him, his play style already, to Mahomes. I mean, he can make plays happen. But yeah, as you said, I like that they're, and as what we mentioned too, just with the Keenan Allen addition, just adding vets and DJ Moore and Kmet, as we said, and Everett even as a piece, Swift. It's actually a pretty decent offense they're trying to build, to where then if they can kind of focus on upgrading their line, offensive line, that is, I think they're a candidate to be a turnaround team next year, because their defense actually woke up midseason too. So I know that's kind of the name of the game, is if you can start winning, that translates to having successful fantasy seasons for a quarterback as well. So I yeah, definitely, I don't think anybody's thinking Williams does not go one off the board, and I'm liking this landing spot more and more than I initially did as well.
What's interesting about it is that we really felt that Justin Fields, for the majority of his tenure there, like Ethan said, was not supported properly, and I totally agree with that, both from a coaching standpoint from what he had to work with, as well as offensive talent around him. They add DJ Moore last year, which did help Fields, but then they double down and they grab Keenan Allen, and now they're drafting Caleb Williams, and who knows, maybe there might be another skill player drafted later in this mock exercise. We'll see how that pans out. But you know, they're putting pieces around them to be successful. And I'll tell you what, guys, if this exercise comes to fruition and he's obviously Williams comes to the Bears to get him some more help on offense, I mean, I'd have a hard time, number one, not taking him with the first overall pick in a super flex draft, and also not having him outside my top 12 dynasty quarterbacks before he even plays a single snap. So I think everything else has really been covered, I guess. What are your guys' thoughts on that, having him as a QB1 before he plays it down in the NFL?
I would have to agree with that. I mean, with his pedigree, the 101, his dual threat ability, and that supporting cast, especially when we reveal the players the Bears select next, I don't know how you can't put him up there with his skill set, and I mean with the supporting cast he's going to have, which would have to be top five in the NFL supporting cast. I don't see how he's easily not a top 12 dynasty quarterback right off the rip. And then the ball's in his hands. Can he, like I said, can he make the step? Can he make the jump in the NFL? But with his skill set and I mean, the situation, I think it'd be crazy not to have him in the top 12.
Yeah. I not to add on much more, but yeah, if I'm envisioning him, if he has a top 15, just redraft season, he's instantly a top 12, if not higher, dynasty player. So I envision he can be a top 15 QB next year.
Yeah, definitely. And I think everything is in place for him to be successful, especially if they can continue to upgrade that offensive line. He has the tools and the pieces around him to be a good NFL quarterback, and that's definitely helpful for fantasy managers, particularly in super flex formats. Speaking of super flex, we're going to continue with the quarterback theme here with our second pick in the draft. The Washington Commanders are up, and they go with Drake May out of the University of North Carolina. Aaron, what are your thoughts on May, the former Tar Heel, landing in the nation's capital?
I like this spot for May. You know, I think when I first read it, even in our group chat too, we were thinking, you know, maybe Jaden Daniels would go second. And then May would potentially wind up with New England, but I kind of like May's landing spot with Washington. They have a little bit more talent at wide receiver than New England does. So he can kind of showcase his arm a little bit more. Although, you know, they did lose Bieniemy, but no, I actually wanted to kind of zone in closer to the Commanders, Patriots going that 2-3. I know we'll get into it more with some more of this QB carousel here. But I actually do like May in this position where, you know, I think, you know, matching him up with McLaren and Dotson, I guess I can envision that. So I'm with it. I dig it with May landing in Washington. Once again, I think he's set up for long, you know, to be the long-term starter there, picking at pick 2.
Yeah, I like Drake May a lot. He's been him and Caleb Williams have been the consensus 1-2. over the for the past few years anyways, in terms of college QB prospects. I actually think the Commanders are going to go Jaden Daniels here, but I actually like the Drake May selection if this is the case. I just think Drake May has the prototypical size, has all the tools. He can move as well. So I don't think you can really go wrong if you're the Commanders with Drake May. I think he, like I said, he's the prototypical size and has everything you're looking for. So I've been seeing a lot of Jaden Daniels mocked to Washington, and I've also seen in a lot of places how it's basically a lock that Jaden Daniels is going to Washington. So I was actually surprised to see Daniel Jeremiah mock Drake May to the Commanders.
Well, it's mock season, and that's what you do. You put different things out there, and you kind of see how the exercise pans out. And you know, no one knows how it's going to go for sure, but you know, if there's one thing we know about May, it's he has been like Ethan said, one of the top guys on the board for this class for a couple seasons. And you know, obviously he has somewhat of a dual threat, a run pass skill set, brings prototypical size to the position, so he just checks a lot of boxes, which I don't think it's nuts to mock him here at 102. You know, I'll say about the Washington landing spot, I don't necessarily love this spot. There's only one spot for a quarterback I hate less than this, or I should say I hate more than this, and we'll get to that in a minute. But it's I don't love the spot here. I just don't like I just don't think they really have the infrastructure to develop a great quarterback in Washington, especially with new ownership there. The expectations are going to be higher than they should be right away, even for a team that's in a kind of a rebuild mode here. So I'm going to say here with you in a super flex league, if he does end up at Washington with the number two pick in the draft, as good as the capital is, I'm probably going to have him as my 104 in this landing spot here. What are your guys' thoughts on that?
104. Yeah, no, I can see that. I think especially how many people have been burned by taking quarterbacks early in Superflex mock drafts as of late. I think you can easily see Caleb Williams go 101 and then followed by Marvin Harrison Jr., Malik Nabers. I mean, honestly, with obviously Drake May going to the Commanders, which is kind of a blah spot, and then obviously the Patriots at 3, and we'll get to that in a second with the quarterback they take, I can easily see 3 receivers after Caleb Williams. I mean, I think people are just tired of getting burned. I mean, I was burned completely by Trey Lance. I could have Ja'Marr Chase on my team. Instead, I have the backup quarterback from the Cowboys. So I definitely can see people just being like, you know what? Screw it. Commanders don't like the landing spot. I think Drake May going there, it's 50-50 whether he hits or not. Let me go receiver. So yeah, I think the 104 is a realistic landing spot in a rookie draft for Drake May.
Yeah, I don't think that's reach. I think at that point, we'll definitely get into it, talking this this very next guy too, where I think 4 or 5 is going to get interchangeable if it's the way that Mr. Jeremiah's mock draft pans out. But I think as we start comparing May and Daniels to each other, I think it ends up becoming, you know, more of a preference pick, right? And I can almost see May falling back as we talk about this next prospect.
Well, let's do that. Let's talk about this next prospect. And I'm going to start with this one. It's my hometown New England Patriots selecting at the 103. They grabbed Jaden Daniels in this exercise. So Ethan and I, our team finally makes an offseason splash after being pretty quiet on the free agent front, unfortunately. Just refusing to upgrade this roster that's devoid of offensive talent. But, you know, so why try to improve an offense that was just finished the worst point total since 2012 on a per game
basis? I thought
we
were trying to burn cash there, Pat, right?
Yeah, they're trying to burn some cash. Season ticket holders money like yours, right, Ethan?
It's insane. It's like if a team has been hot garbage the last couple of years, especially last year, and me, my brother, and my mom, my stepdad, we split our season tickets, and my season tickets went up $200. So basically $800 it went up from last year, which is like insane because the team blows. Their Kraft is making us pay for that nice new light tower, the nice new big jumbotron. But hey, we're gonna put a really, really shitty football team on that field.
Yeah, but you'll be able to see that terrible team real good on that new scoreboard.
High def.
Yeah, it's a nice scoreboard. I'll say that. But that's about the only nice thing you can say about the the Patriots in Gillette Stadium at the moment. But let's talk about the fantasy impact here of Jaden Daniels essentially turning the page from the Mac Jones era and getting the keys to the Patriots offense, as bad as that offense has been. You know, this team, if you look at the offense itself, the offensive line is mediocre at best. The skill players are atrocious, arguably the worst collection in the league. You got Juju Smith-Schuster, you got DeMario Douglas, Kendrick Bourne coming off a knee injury, and then Hunter Henry sticks around, who's okay. You know, if you look at and if you look at a guy like Jaden Daniels and kind of like Mac Jones, you know, the skill players that they both had in college are a hell of a lot better than what they're going to be working with the Patriots, which is kind of crazy to think about. So this is the landing spot I was referencing earlier. That's really my, as much as I hate to say it, because it's my team, like, this is the spot where you don't want a rookie quarterback to end up. And I think the mobility aspect of Jaden Daniels is good from a real NFL perspective for the Patriots, because their offensive line is suspect, because their receivers need time bought for them to get open, because they're not good enough to get open on their own. So I think I like it from a real football standpoint. But if he goes here, man, like, this team is not close on offense right now. And the defense actually is somewhat close, which actually is not a good thing in my estimation, because if they're in these close games, then they're going to be able to continue to run the football more weeks than we like. You know, it's not like they have a bad defense where they're in shootouts all the time and Daniels has to chuck it. So I would actually put him a little bit lower than you think, down at 106 in Superflex formats, if he ends up with our hometown New England Patriots.
Yeah, I think 106 for Jaden Daniels, that's a pretty big slide. I mean, I guess it depends on the climate of the league and those top 5, 6, 7 teams, how needy they are at quarterback. I'm assuming if you earned the 101, the 102, 103, 104, 105, I'm assuming you probably need a lot of help and probably a lot of help at the quarterback position. And with a guy like Jaden Daniels and his skill set, fantasy wise, I think he's a guy that can score points, a guy that's going to be selected at the 103. He's going to be given at least 3 years. Hopefully within those 3 years, the Patriots build around Jaden Daniels and actually get him help. Who knows what the Patriots are going to do in the draft after pick 3, if they do stay put and take Jaden Daniels. I would hope to God they give him some lifelines in terms of receivers in the draft. But I think if you get Jaden Daniels, even with this subpar landing spot, I think if you get him at the 106, I think it's very, very good value. But I just like I said, kind of with the last pick, I it's not like I can't see it. You have those three stud receivers. You have Brock Bowers. I mean, Drake May, and then maybe a couple other guys that we're gonna mention pretty soon. But obviously New England has a stink to them. And it doesn't look like they're spending much cash right now to help out their future franchise quarterback.
Yeah, it's not like that plan of not putting good pieces around your rookie quarterback didn't just backfire for us 3 years ago. So we're going to do the same
thing.
What
do you mean?
and hope for better results, which is insanity, as we know. But Aaron, I guess, give us your quick thoughts on Daniels to the Patriots. And feel free not to talk us off the ledge, because I don't think there's any hope that's going to happen.
Now, I'm trying to, you know, think just more realistic, as I was kind of alluding to with the Drake May, Jaden Daniels decision there. I think if they're both ready to be picked, I think depending on your league, I think in a four-point passing touchdown league, I think you are going to have some fantasy managers that get a little greedy over Jaden Daniels' rushing upside, where we know May can run too, but just not really comparable to Jaden. To where I think those are the occasions where those fantasy managers might take the reach over Daniels over May, but definitely over a six point, I think you take May and comparing these two landing spots, as you alluded to, where May be able to lead a little bit more high scoring offense than Daniels with the Patriots. But like I said, I think if it's just depending on your league, 4 point, I think you're going to get a few fantasy owners out there that are going to reach Daniels over May, as we saw last year with A. Rich over like Stroud or somebody like that too. There's always going to be some of those managers out there that will take that leap of faith, in my opinion.
Yeah, for sure. And I think it's a good point with the rushing upside. If you play in a 4 point for passing touchdown league, where the runners are a little bit more valuable with the point gap not being evened out somewhat with the passing numbers. So that's a good point, Aaron. And let's keep the quarterback run here going with the 104. And there's some trades involved in this mock draft. And this one involved the Minnesota Vikings coming up making a trade with the Arizona Cardinals to select what they hope is going to be their next franchise quarterback in JJ McCarthy out of the University of Michigan. Ethan, what do you think about the Vikings getting aggressive here and moving up with the Cardinals to get McCarthy?
For Dynasty Fantasy Football, I absolutely love it. I think if you're sitting there in your Dynasty rookie draft at the 108, your 108 just got insanely more valuable. I mean, it's already been getting more valuable considering the JJ McCarthy hype, but if it gets to the point where the Vikings move up to pick four to select JJ McCarthy, I mean, there's a locked in top eight. And I think it's great for McCarthy. He has all the tools. He looked great at his pro day. He had glimpses of that nice Zach Wilson pro day from a few years ago. So then that might be bad news Bears, but JJ McCarthy, like I said, he has the tools. If you just look at his first half numbers throughout the season, he threw the rock at just as high of a clip as any of the other quarterbacks we talked about. It's just a lot of times in the second half, they went into ground and pound because Michigan was just dominant. So I do think McCarthy has it. I know the Patriots, they were talking about how they were really looking for toughness, and toughness in their quarterback was a huge thing. And they've been linked to McCarthy as of late. And I think McCarthy does have that moxie. I think he does have that toughness. He just won a championship with the Michigan Wolverines. So I think McCarthy is looking pretty good. He is this year's draft riser. And I would love if he gets drafted at four, because like I said, it makes your 108 that much more valuable. So, and not for nothing, he has Jordan Addison, TJ Hockenson, and Justin Jefferson to throw the ball to. So, I mean, what a landing spot. So I think it's wheels up for JJ McCarthy.
Well, you're talking about 108, and I totally get it, because there's kind of a top seven, at least settled into somewhat of a consensus in some order. It varies on who you talk to, of course, but that does definitely help make it a top eight if he goes that high to the Minnesota Vikings in a great landing spot for the reasons you mentioned. But let me just skip Aaron for 1 second here, while you have 108 on your mind. What if I told you he in this scenario, if all this played out the way it was going to in this exercise, what if I told you he was my 105 in Superflex leagues?
No, I would agree with you. When I said 108, just those locked in eight picks, right? Not necessarily saying that JJ McCarthy should be the 108. I think if he goes number four to the Vikings, I agree with you. I think he moves well past the 108, and I could easily see him at the 105. So no, I'm in lockstep with you. I just think in generality that top eight players, it just what a awesome 2024 class the first round is looking to be. So it's exciting.
Yeah, for sure. Aaron, talk to us about a little bit about McCarthy, if you have anything else to pile on, and then kind of just get into some talk about the first four picks being quarterbacks as a whole out of this draft. It's like a super flex manager's like dream scenario. Four quarterbacks go 1, 2, 3, 4. So if you had anything else to add on McCarthy, Aaron, toss it out. If not, then just get right into the that tier of QBs at the top of the draft.
Yeah, no, I think if this plans out exactly as Daniel Jeremiah is predicting, McCarthy to the Vikings, I think, yeah, no argument there. I think him playing for the Vikings, I think that's any rookie quarterback right now with the Vikings, you know, having J.J. Addison, Hockenson, actually even forgot Aaron Jones. I know Aaron Jones is getting up there in age two, but he's a receiving running back too. So you can literally throw the ball to almost anyone on that team, and they can make some plays. So I almost love any quarterback that winds up with Minnesota. I know they got Darnold as a backup, but I think they're, you know, having the, just making their recent that trade, having two first, almost signals that they want to trade up. So I think that's where Daniel's kind of alluding to, where they're going to use those two, try to get a two for one here with one of these teams. I think, like, out of the top four, like, that one is the most interesting to me because that's going to be one of our first big trades we see moving up from pick 11 to pick four. But it is a good convo because that's also saying that you're passing up on one on the best skill position player in the draft too, with Marvin Harrison too, where it would take the Cardinals trading down and passing up on a position need, right? Where Cardinals, you know, they're losing Hollywood Brown and they've already lost Hopkins and they really need supplement Kyler Murray with a piece, right? So that's the only flaw I see in this, to where, I mean, I do think the Vikings may make a move where, but maybe if it's like pick five or six, that's where I start seeing this getting a little shaky. Cause if I'm a Cardinals fan, I want Marvin Harrison here. But yeah, as you guys said, top four picks being all quarterbacks, I think we're all mouths are drooling because that's not even, you know, there's even more rookie quarterback potential starting next year. When I know we'll have another name that we'll bring up with Michael Penix Jr. as well too. So a lot of talent this year. And I think, as you said, top four picks being quarterbacks, it's going to get interesting, especially if there's some trades there too. But that's just my two cents there.
Yeah, to your point about the Cardinals, I think if they can get, and that they're, if there's a quarterback on the board, which there's going to be in this case because J.J. McCarthy's flying up boards, but if somebody does like J.J. McCarthy, like the Vikings, and you can get a haul for that pick, if I'm the Arizona Cardinals, you need to trade back. I don't love trading all the way back to 11 and missing out on the big three receivers, not to give any spoilers, but the big three receivers. That kind of hurts. But if you think you can trade back and still get a Malik Nabers, still get a Romo Odunze, I think with the Cardinals roster the way it is, I do think that's the smart football decision to trade back, accumulate those first round picks, because you're not drafting a quarterback. So take advantage of the teams that need a quarterback. You don't, move back, deep receiver class, take the assets and move on.
Yeah, there's definitely a no shortage of needs on that Arizona Cardinals roster. And it's just hard because as much as, I mean, Harrison's been linked there and all that, it would be great to have him here throwing the ball to Kyler Murray with Trey McBride alongside. That would be awesome. But that wasn't meant to be in this exercise. And for two reasons. One, obviously the Cardinals traded out of that pick, knowing there's no way that he'd be getting back to them when they were on the clock next. And also, the New York Jets moved into the 105 slot in this exercise. That was the second trade we had in this mock, and they actually end up taking Harrison at the 105, which, reading this, that was the big shock to me of the draft, was the Jets coming home with MHJ in round one. And, you know, I think it would be an exciting move for Jets fans if this happened. Like, obviously, from a real football standpoint, you got Harrison on one side, Garrett Wilson on the other, Aaron Rodgers, even though he's getting long in the tooth, it's still, you know, definitely a significant upgrade over what we've had out of Zach Wilson the last few years in the Jets. So I think it'd be great from that standpoint, but from an overall production, you know, upside ceiling, I wouldn't necessarily love this for Marvin Harrison Jr. just because we know that Wilson's going to get his pound of flesh. He's going to command his targets. And the Green Bay offense, the last time we saw Hackett and Rod Rodgers work together in Green Bay, it ran incredibly slow. And Adams was really the only wide receiver that was viable for in most weeks, and all the way back in, I believe that was 2021. But I, you know, here, you know, get that same slow offense here with two good wide receivers splitting the carries, and with a team with a good defense is going to keep them in positive game scripts. I don't really love it. And if you're playing Dynasty, you're always worried about the long term. Rodgers turns 41 at the end of this upcoming season. So that's before you talk about the torn Achilles too. So the end's near for Rodgers, and you know, the Jets aren't exactly world-class when it comes to finding franchise quarterbacks. So despite this being a great, fun landing spot for the Jets fans out there, I can actually see it not being great for Dynasty, for fantasy in general, but I just can't get away from the talent here of MHJ, and I can't drop him any lower than 102 in my Superflex rankings, guys.
Yeah, I agree with you here where Marvin Harrison to the Jets. This one really surprised me when I saw that. I don't see it happening, but it would be quite interesting, right? I'd much rather Harrison go to the team that would have traded back on this one with the Chargers, especially after losing Mike Williams and Keenan Allen. So I'd much rather this trade not happen and just see the Chargers take Marvin Harrison here. But yeah, I mean, you can't argue that, you know, just adding talent, you know, to a team, Rodgers, Wilson and Harrison, that would be pretty lethal. But again, as fantasy managers, you'd kind of hate it, you know, kind of wondering who's going to get the targets, each week. So yeah, I actually I would hate this landing spot as well, especially as you mentioned, Rodgers isn't the long-term solve there for the Jets too. And then you don't know who his quarterback is afterwards too. So yeah, definitely. I do would not like this landing spot, but as you said, you still would have to grab him at one or two in your dynasty drafts.
Yeah, I'm in lockstep with you guys. I think this is probably the worst case scenario for Marvin Harrison Jr. Obviously, you get the capital at pick 5, but you're going to be tied with Garrett Wilson for the foreseeable future. Mike Williams is on the team, so it's going to be very tough for him to command alpha level targets if it's even possible this year. He's going to be in just a committee of wide receivers, of good receivers. And I think if this is the case, I think Caleb Williams is the locked in 101. It's just too many mouths to feed in New York. The future is now with them, as the commission alluded to. Aaron Rodgers is obviously up there in age, injuries piling up. So who knows how big their window is? It's probably this year, maybe next year at the very most. So this is just a not very ideal landing spot for Marvin Harrison Jr. But I did bring up Caleb Williams. Before we went too far down the road from the quarterbacks, I did want to put our money where our mouth was a little bit with Caleb Williams. I just mentioned Caleb Williams is probably going to be the 101 if this is the case. But, Kamish, I wanted to ask you, you said he would be a top 12 quarterback for you, right?
Yep.
So, hey, I'll give you some names. You tell me Caleb Williams or this quarterback. Brock Purdy.
Caleb Williams.
Tua Tagovailoa.
Caleb Williams.
Dak Prescott.
Caleb Williams.
Yeah, those are all pretty easy. Jordan Love.
It's a Caleb little dicey. Williams.
Okay. Kyler Murray.
Caleb Williams.
Trevor Lawrence.
Caleb Williams.
Anthony Richardson.
Here's where the rubber meets the road. Because I freaking love Richardson's upside in fantasy, what we saw. And the limited sample size of him last year, in the two full games he played healthy, he was a top 4 quarterback in both of them. And that's the type of Konami Code upside that's league altering for several years. But that said, I do like Caleb Williams a little better, so I'd probably take him, but that's ever so slightly. And that's where the fall ends. QB8.
Yeah, because you're not taking him over CJ Stroud. So yeah, so that kind of made my point where it's like, okay, hey, if you think Caleb Williams is QB8. How do you not take him 101 in this year's draft? So, like Marvin Harrison, if he went to the Chargers, then hey, maybe you have a little different story because now, hey, well, he does have to compete with Quentin Johnson, but
oh, there you go.
Oh no,
wide receiver battle there,
big camp battle, but no. So yeah, this would be kind of a tough blow to Marvin Harrison, and it would kind of suck for everybody involved. I mean, it would stink for Garrett Wilson. I mean, it just not ideal. So those are my two thoughts on Marvin Harrison.
Yeah, you're not going to go broke taking Marvin Harrison Jr. Anywhere in the draft, really. He's just that safe of a wide receiver prospect. And if you get him on your team at any spot in the draft, it's not – no one's going to really fault you for it, for sure. But let's stick in the Big Apple in New York City. We're going to the Giants, who, you know, as we know, share the same building with the Jets. They grab a wide receiver here as well. They go with Malik Nabers. So, Aaron, what do you think about Nabers taking up residence in New York?
I love it. As far as the landing spot goes, they need an alpha over there in New York. They tried the wide receiver by committee approach last year. Didn't really pan out for him too well. Kind of had just a dumpster fire season on offense, just in general, right? So, I just love Nabers. You know, I think everything I'm seeing is linking him to the Giants too, and multiple mocks too. So, I like it. Whether whoever plays quarterback in the future, I think it's just a nice spot for him playing the Big Apple over there too. So, yeah, I like Nabers. Definitely, has star written all over him. I know Kamish likes his dance moves in the end zone as loves well. His dance so, moves.
Oh, don't get me so started on those end zone moves, baby.
So he fits the part there as that NFL wide receiver. But yeah, no, I like it. I think even regarding who plays quarterback in the next 5 years, if it's Daniel Jones makes a nice comeback season, I think giving him a nice alpha wide receiver is a nice starter as we mentioned before. So I definitely like Neighbors. I don't think you can go wrong with any wide receiver being an alpha in year one.
Yeah, if this comes to fruition, I can definitely see a decent amount of mock drafts or I should say actual rookie drafts taking Malik Neighbors over Marvin Harrison Jr. Because it's like Neighbors isn't that far off of Harrison Jr. I mean, any other draft class, Neighbors is the bona fide alpha in the class. It just so happens to be that we have three studs and a lot of really good receivers after that. So Malik Neighbors in New York, clear alpha, is going to be the clear alpha for some time. So that's definitely a boost to his stock. Hopefully Daniel Jones can figure it out. If Daniel Jones is even the guy going forward, there's been rumors of the Giants potentially taking quarterback in this draft. I've always been a Daniel Jones fan. I know he didn't have a very good year last year, but he was hurt obviously most of the year. And we'll see if he can bounce back. But I think if Daniel Jones can come back and he is healthy, I think he's going to lock in Malik Neighbors. And I think, I don't know how he doesn't get 130 plus targets.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, he's going to be a top, he's going to push for a WR1 season as a rookie, just based on what isn't around him. I mean, I know Daniel Jones isn't the sexiest quarterback out there, and he's very much playing for his NFL future this season after, I think this is going to be a sixth year in New York, believe it or not, coming up. So, but you know, he's got to ball out himself. But even if he isn't great by any means, I think there's just going to be enough volume to come Neighbor's way where he's just going to make the most of it. Maybe he doesn't hit the massive touchdown numbers, but his yard is going to be up there. His reception totals are going to be on there. 130 targets sounds very, very reasonable to me in this offense, just based on the fact their defense also isn't great either. So, yeah, I like him a lot there, and I like him so much that I have him as my 103 in Superflex drafts.
Oh, yeah. 103, spot on. No argument there.
Yeah, no, and this is, yeah, that's where I see, like, if you get a guy like Neighbors to New York, bona fide alpha there, yeah, I could easily see taking Neighbors over any of the quarterbacks not named Caleb Williams.
Yep, very team-dependent, of course. If you need a quarterback, grab him. If you're even remotely all-set at quarterback, I don't think you'd regret grabbing Neighbors with the third pick in your rookie draft. So let's go. We got one more receiver here. We said it was going to be three in a row, and it sure was. So it's 109. The Chicago Bears grab Rome Odunze. And as promised, we mentioned the Bears were going to be adding another skill player in this draft. So there it is. Rome Odunze comes off the board in the top 10. And he forms a deadly trio alongside DJ Moore and Keenan Allen. And essentially, it just kind of fits the model that new offensive coordinator Shane Waldron had in Seattle, where he had DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett, and Jaxon Smith-Njigba last year. But obviously, this is would form, in my opinion, definitely a more potent trio between Moore, Allen, and Odunze. This offense is definitely going to be fun to watch, and it's going to be it's going to keep defensive coordinators up at night for sure. Yeah, even with a rookie quarterback, I think it's going to be definitely one of the top 10 or so units in the NFL if they can kind of all mold together well in the offseason. But you know, usually we don't like rookie quarterbacks throwing the ball to wide receivers. Just from a fantasy standpoint, they typically don't pan out. They don't create WR1s right out of the gate. And I don't think Rome would be a WR1 as a rookie, just with all the competition that he'd have on the roster for targets between those receivers and also Cole Kmet hanging around. So I don't actually love this landing spot, at least initially for Rome. And you know, I would actually put him down at my 108 in Superflex drafts if this happened.
Yeah, definitely not an ideal landing spot for Rome Odunze. Obviously, pick 9, top 10 capital is awesome for him, but to be in the same wide receiver room as DJ Moore and Keenan Allen, it is just nukes his value in his rookie year. I alluded to the Bears taking another receiver for Caleb Williams earlier, and Rome Odunze is that receiver, and I just think this makes the 1-on-1 even that more of a lock with Caleb Williams, that is. And what an insane offense to or an insane amount of weapons to have at your disposal in your rookie year for Caleb Williams. But yeah, this would definitely nuke Rome Odunze's stock initially. Obviously Keenan Allen, he's not going to be around forever, but Rome Odunze's stock definitely isn't rising as a rookie unless he just goes in there and just just takes over and can be the locked in wide receiver, at least two there, which I don't really see happening. Keenan Allen's been too good. He's a savvy veteran. DJ Moore was awesome last year. So definitely wheels down for Rome Odunze. And it just kind of a crazy just seeing these top three receivers and where they went with obviously Harrison Jr. and the Jets, Odunze with the Bears. Like right now, they're the wide receiver threes in their team. And then you have Malik Nabers sitting there as the wide receiver one. So it would definitely be interesting in rookie drafts if this played out.
Yeah, no argument there. 100% agree with you guys. Not the best landing spot. I would love it as a Bears fan. I would love it if I drafted Caleb Williams, right? Because his Caleb Williams stock keeps rising if this pans out. But yeah, it's almost like on those like if you're a JSN truther, right? You're waiting for like year two or year three, for Rome to kind of take over maybe after Keenan leaves or something like that. But we usually don't like that much of a wait and see approach for that top of a wide out at that high of a draft capital. So love it for football, but as you guys said, I would hate it for fantasy as well.
Before we move on from this pick, well, we skipped one pick that wasn't an offensive fantasy player, but I just wanted to give a shout out to those Will Levis truthers. Tennessee did go Joe Alt, which locked up his left tackle, so it's a wheels up for Will Levis fans.
There you go.
Can you guys tell that Ethan's a Will Levis fan out there?
I'm unbiased. I have zero shares.
Yeah, definitely good. It's definitely a good pick for them. They need it. I think it's one of the safer picks if you're gonna on the betting market. If you're betting on something, that's got to be one of the safer picks in the entire draft. Joe Alt at 107 to the Titans for sure. But we're not PFF scouts. We're not scouting offensive line grades here or anything like that. So we're gonna stick to the skill players here. And while we're on the receiver theme here, I guess is there any quick thoughts you guys want to make about those three in general going back to back to back here in this mock as far as skill players go?
I mean, it looks like the GMs are playing dynasty fantasy football.
Finally, yeah. It's about time they got on board with that. Like, they gotta start drafting for us.
Hey, can we get a couple of running backs in the top 10?
Right, throw that in there. No, I mean, I think we said most of the main points. I mean, I think there's a couple surprising trades. One thing I'll throw out there that this is the most unlikely thing to happen, but I know like John Harbaugh recently has gone out on a limb over McCarthy to where, the craziest trade I've seen is Chargers going out on a limb and actually trading Herbert in drafting McCarthy in this draft and getting a nice return for Herbert plus being able to get his guy, his Michigan guy. But I don't see that one happening, but it's kind of interesting trade to even fathom there.
Hey, well, what has Herbert done? He can't even win a playoff game.
It's true. Go get your guy.
Yeah, that would be the boldest of bold moves. But I mean, hey, Harbaugh was talking up JJ McCarthy like he was the second coming of Tom Brady, so you never know.
but the dead cap number on his number, if he were to get traded, Herbert, that is just astronomical to the point where it's not even on the table this offseason, unfortunately, because I think that would be a fun storyline if he had a more friendly deal that could be moved at this point.
The Patriots have cash to burn. Come on.
Again, they only want to burn your cash, Ethan.
No, yeah, exactly.
So we had seven skill players go in the top nine picks. Again, absolutely amazing for fantasy purposes, for Superflex purposes, for sure. And there's actually only four more players selected in the remainder of this mock in the first round. So we're going to rattle through these a little bit quicker than we did on the first set of players here. So let's start with the 112, the Denver Broncos. They miss out on their quarterback, but they end up getting Brock Bowers as the first tight end off the board. And let's be honest, guys, he's been the first tight end off the board for 2 years now. He was the only player ever to win the John Mackey Award twice as a college player. He won it in 22 and 2023. So we always knew Bowers was going to be drafted early here, but he does make it outside of the top 10 to the Broncos at number 12. He's going to be slotting in, I think, instantly as the best skill player in Sean Payton's offense, which historically speaking has been very productive for fantasy football. And I think that would continue here. We saw a couple tight ends have some really good seasons with Sean Payton. We're not sure who the quarterback's going to be. That's the one real issue with this landing spot, at least in the short term. But I think Bowers as a prospect is safe enough where if I'm in a tight end premium league, super flex league, he's going to be my 107 coming off the board.
Yeah, no, I was just going to say this pick I kind of glossed over. I think, Bowers has, starting tight end obviously written all over him, being a high draft capital. But as you said, not knowing who the quarterback is, it could, as we know, sometimes play into a tight end's favor, right, with rookie quarterbacks kind of trying to dump it off a little bit more, check down. So not terrible, but Denver right now is we don't really know how appealing Denver is right now without knowing who is playing quarterback, but that's what makes it interesting right now as well. So I'm kind of with you. I'd actually like Bowers ending up with the Jets. I can see him actually pairing up better with the Jets than the Broncos, but I'm kind of indifferent here, but yeah, I don't think you can go wrong as far as drafting in your dynasty team here with Brock Bowers.
I've seen the Denver Broncos kill one of my favorite tight end prospects in Noah Fant. So hopefully I don't do the same. Hopefully I don't do the same thing to Brock Bowers. I mean, you get in the capital pick 12, you're going into a situation with Cortland Sutton, Marvin Mims, and then it'd be obviously Brock Bowers would take over for Greg Dulcich, who would be nuked. So I think there would be targets. There's definitely targets available for Brock Bowers. It just Denver Broncos, they kind of have this stink to them right now, not having a quarterback like you guys alluded to. So, I mean, it's good capital, and I think there are targets available. So I definitely don't hate it. If I'm the Broncos pick 12, the Chargers pick 10, the Cardinals pick 11. If I'm the Chargers and the Cardinals, I'm very, very disappointed how the draft unfolded, because I'm sure the Chargers would have liked Odunze or one, and same with the Cardinals. I'm sure they wanted a receiver. But if I was the Chargers, I think I would have took Bowers there at 10 if I was them. But obviously he slips to Denver. And if this plays out, I don't think it hurts Bowers. I don't think it really, it's not the sexiest landing spot, so it's not like he vaults up in the top four, but it's a place where he's going to be the starter from day one, and he's going to get a lot of targets probably.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, he's one of those players. This is one of those select areas of the draft where you're like, hey, I want to bet on elite talent, and he's been mocked as like the best tight end prospect in recent memory. So what's wrong with grabbing him there at 112? And they're kind of trying to build that team up from what it was when Sean Payton took it over a year ago. So got to get talented players on your football team. That's the best way to turn it around. So they take best player available and go Brock Bowers. The next pick here is pick 13, and another AFC West team is on the clock. And the Raiders end up going with Michael Penix Jr. And I guess, Aaron, you're our NFC or AFC West guy as the Chiefs fan. So what do you think about your division rival over there grabbing Penix in the middle of the first round?
I guess I would kind of like it as a fantasy player, because knowing that the Chiefs are just going to blow out the Raiders all the time and they would need to play catch up. That's probably not bad with Penix having to try to throw around the yard. But I think, Raiders is definitely another team, as I alluded to earlier, just another team that needs a quarterback, right? Where this is a pretty nice draft class to get some starting QB. So Penix here, I just think as long as he ends up with a team of a quarterback of need and you can see him getting playing time soon, I think that's always what you want for a rookie quarterback. So he would have to battle the mustache man of O'Connell, right? Where if he could take that starting gig over, which I think he could. I think he's got the arm and athletic profile. I think he came in at like a 4.440 on his pro day as well, if I'm not mistaken as well, right? So yeah, I mean, I guess from a fantasy perspective, I wouldn't mind Penix with the Raiders.
Yeah, Penix, he's a guy that before that national championship game, he was being, I feel like, mocked in the first round, consistently top 15. He shredded one of the better defenses in the country in the semifinals against Texas. And then he went into that championship game and was missing wide open throws. Just didn't have the game that I think everybody kind of was expecting from him. And I feel like his stock was like down from there. And he was consistently being mocked in the second round. Then all of a sudden he goes to his pro day, and Aaron alluded to it, but it's all hand time. Like Field Yates of ESPN said, his lone run was a 4.56 to a 4.59. Some people say, some people had him at 4.46. Some had it 4.5. Penix himself said, I'm a 4.4 guy. And he basically said, he just wanted to show people that he can move. But I was actually very impressed in his athletic measurables for a guy that's like been projected as a statue at the next level, a guy that doesn't run much. He's pretty athletic. If those hand times were relatively accurate, if he's a 4.4, mid 4.4s, 4.5 guy, and he had a 36.5-inch vertical and a 10-foot, 5-inch broad jump. So that's pretty explosive for a quarterback. We all know Penix has a rocket arm. So if he gets picked up in the top 15, pick 13 right here, I mean, he's got to be a first round rookie pick, in my opinion, because he's going to get minimum 2 years at the very least. But yeah, I was pretty surprised to see Penix jump up to 13 in Daniel Jeremiah's mock.
Yeah, and you guys could have hit on really everything I had to add about Penix, but I guess what I'll say is where I have him ranked here, he would be my 110 in Superflex formats if he gets this type of draft capital. I just can't keep him out of the top 10, just the opportunity that being the 13th overall pick in the draft buys you. So, yeah, I mean, he would get every opportunity to succeed, and I can't, as much as I'm kind of out on Penix as a prospect and as a player, that I can't really put him outside the top 10 in good conscience, at least without knowing what happens in round two.
Wait, didn't the Raiders grab Minshew?
Yes, they did.
So Penix would actually have to fight both stashes. Yeah, both stashes.
There's too much. He can get through the field. Las Vegas.
Yeah, that's right. Too much stash. Yeah, if he can make it past both of those mustaches, he might have a future there.
All pro.
That's right.
Yeah, I think Minshew is a guy who would probably start the season as a starter, and Penix would likely mix in middle of the year, maybe later in the year. Never hurts a guy really to sit for 1 year right out of the gate, especially a guy like Penix who's played a ton in college. It's not a Trey Lance situation where the guy basically didn't play real college football for more than a year. So I like to throw digs at Trey Lance out there in front of Ethan whenever I can.
It hurts.
Sorry, bud. But yeah, so that's what we got on Penix. We'll keep it rolling here. And another big, big gap here between picks. This is, we're going all the way to the 23rd pick in the first round. The Arizona Cardinals grab Brian Thomas, the big body target out of LSU, ends up with the Cardinals. Cardinals fans are hoping to grab Marvin Harrison Jr. Maybe some of them want Malik Nabers in the top five, but they end up getting Nabers' teammate here in Brian Thomas. So I know Ethan's more of a Brian Thomas guy than maybe Aaron and I are. So why don't you start talking about Brian Thomas in this landing spot.
I mean, Brian Thomas, he has your prototypical size. He has the wheels to take the top off the defense. And the guy scored an insane amount of touchdowns at LSU. I do think Brian Thomas Jr. is a good prospect. Just an athletic freak. He dominated the combine in terms of the testing measurables. And if he gets picked at 23rd to the Arizona Cardinals, that's going to do a lot for his stock, considering the Cardinals don't have a bona fide number one there. So he slots in immediately. to be the number one receiver for Kyler Murray. So I think it's wheels up for Brian Thomas. Whether you like him as a prospect or not, he's going to get opportunity. I think he has all the tools. I mean, these later first round guys, you don't know if he's going to be Justin Jefferson or Quentin Johnson, Jalen Reagor. I mean, there's just so many, obviously there's so much room for error with these picks, and you just got to trust your process. And obviously one of the pieces to that process is draft capital and landing spot. And for Brian Thomas Jr., that would be check, check.
It would be check, check. Of course, the other parts of the process where you want college production, more than 1 year of it, certainly doesn't check that box.
Oh, come on, no.
Never had more than 400 yards in his first 2 years. Was never an alpha in college. So it's kind of a reach to think he might be able to do that in the NFL, especially with no one to protect him in the wide receiver room. Quickly, guys, trivia question real fast. Can you guys name another wide receiver currently on the Cardinals depth chart? Go.
Michael Wilson.
Michael Wilson.
That's one.
Dortch is gone, right?
No, Dortch is
Greg,
still there.
Greg Dortch, Rondale Moore just got traded.
So there you go. Those are the two the first two names I had. Also, Chris Moore and Zach Pascal are on the team if you care about that, which I don't. So
all studs.
Brian Thomas definitely does have opportunity in this wide receiver room. That's a fact. I just worry about him getting eaten up by corners at the next level, especially if teams are able to key in on him. But luckily they have me and Aaron's guy, Trey McBride, there to hopefully keep
targets
defenders off of him.
That's right.
But I would definitely have to have an early second round super flex draft grade on him if he were to go there, which is probably might come in a little bit lower than consensus, but I'm going to be okay with that because I'm not really in on the player.
Yeah, no, I'd have to agree with Kamish here too, where this would be interesting to me. Like, you have the fourth pick, and as we mentioned, they would actually be trading down, right? So you'd essentially be giving up Marvin Harrison Jr. and settling on Brian Thomas at pick 23. As who you mentioned was not even the number one on his own team, right? So I guess the question is, who are you picking at 11 then, right? If you most likely traded down from that pick from Minnesota. So I honestly think the play would be at 11, hope and pray that Rome is still available. And if he's sitting there at 9, maybe then you trade up again. You may actually make two trades. I'd rather get Rome instead of Brian Thomas after you trade down. At least you got an extra first out of the deal. I mean, that I can see that down slight downgrade settling on Rome. But yeah, I think it's a little bit of reach, especially if you're an Arizona Cardinals fan and you had Marvin Harrison in your sights, and then you end up getting Brian Thomas, the first wide receiver off the board. So I don't like it. I still think he's obviously a good prospect, but trying to be cute with the draft where you want to kind of turn that organization around. I'm not really with this pick as much.
I'm not really either, obviously. But Ethan, I know you like him. So if there's any last points you want to make on Pro Football Focus's 168th graded wide receiver in college last year, feel free.
Like I said, I like the landing spot, like the draft capital, and I like. He only had one. I mean, he broke out this year, obviously. Obviously, he doesn't have a ton of college production, but he did produce a ton this year. He crushed the combine in terms of the athletic testing and checked a lot of boxes. So I take a chance on Brian Thomas Jr. in my rookie draft. To Aaron's point, I would be disappointed if I was the Cardinals if I couldn't trade back and get a guy like Romo Dunze. I still think if the Cardinals trade back, I don't think they're getting Neighbors or Harrison Jr., but obviously their sights would probably be on Romo Dunze if they did trade back. But like I said, I don't think Brian Thomas Jr. is a bad consolation prize.
All right, so let's move on to the final pick in this draft. We're jumping the second half of this exercise jumped real fast compared to the first half where all the guys were going in the top 10. But we have at pick 32, Aaron's defending Super Bowl champion, Kansas City Chiefs, grab Adonai Mitchell out of the University of Texas to close out the round one. So Aaron's our Chiefs guy, so we're just going to throw the ball right to him, Aaron. What do you think about Mitchell at the end of round one to your Chiefs?
No, I think any rookie wide receiver the Chiefs take here, especially with Mitchell, having a pretty solid year in Texas, would be a nice fit. You know, I think now also after the recent news, we know with Rashee Rice debacle, where I guess it's just another NFL player thinks that they're a NASCAR driver on the roads, right? Where you know, fortunately, obviously could have been worse, but we don't. I guess I'm bringing that up because we don't exactly know what Rice's penalty will be. Where, you know, maybe a rookie wide receiver, Mitchell's talent may have early season playing time, which would be nice to see on the Chiefs roster right after we saw that their season play, they could have upgraded at wide receiver. So he could step in and get some playing time right away. We also have Hollywood Brown that just signed only a 1-year deal as well, to where, yeah, is this just like a grooming position where Hollywood's in and out, and whoever they pick here at pick 32 may be the a wide receiver of the future. So I don't hate it, but I don't think it's another. I don't think it would be a wide receiver to go after like a Rashee Rice or even a Sky Moore a few years ago as well, where people were drafting him in the first round. I'd actually be, a little scared to grab him in the first round. I would still I'd be more happy if I got him at like a 2-3. Somewhere early second round is where I would love to take Mitchell here, but I don't know if that would end up happening or not.
Ethan, talk to me about Mitchell.
I mean, Adonai Mitchell is a big riser from his combine performance. Obviously the teammate of Xavier Worthy, which did not go in the first round considering he broke the 40 yard dash record. But I mean, Adonai Mitchell, 6'2", 205 pounds, ran a 4.3 4.40, had all the burst in the world as well. And to see him get into the first round to the Kansas City Chiefs, that's definitely going to increase his stock. Obviously, Hollywood Brown's there. You have Rashee Rice there. Hopefully he's not suspended too long. But then Adonai Mitchell, I mean, that would be – I mean, for a football move, that would be, I think, a very good – selection for the Kansas City Chiefs, and I think they'd make them. I mean, their offense would definitely be better than it was last year, replacing MVS with Hollywood, and then Adonai Mitchell instead of Aaron's boy Justin Watson. My apologies.
Dang, but, I don't know.
But no, that's I think a solid pick by the Chiefs, and he is kind of in a tough spot though, because I mean, Rashee Rice isn't going anywhere. We hope Travis Kelce is still there in Hollywood. So he'd be what, third, fourth on the pecking order as a rookie. But obviously being tied with Patrick Mahomes, first round wide receiver, I definitely think he would, that would vault him probably into the first round of a lot of rookie drafts, and if not the first round, the 201, 202.
Yeah, I pretty much agree with everything that's been said so far. You know, he's a guy, I think they're probably going to put him on ice pretty much for the first year. We saw them make Rashee Rice earn it last year. You know, we've seen them kind of mix and be content to mix in a bunch of what we would say jaggy wide receivers into their offense in the past, whether it be, you know, guys like Sky Moore, Justin Watson, et cetera, MVS, when he was there. So I think he kind of gets that. But in the long run, I think it's a good spot for him with Kelce being 35 in October. So the opportunity will be there down the road. And he has the Jets to kind of stretch the defense a little bit, which I think is good from an NFL standpoint for what they want to do with Rice on the outside too. And Mahomes, you know, Mahomes is Mahomes, man. I don't need to add on to that much. You know, this is another guy I'm not a huge fan of, though, as a prospect. I'll say that just to get the other side of it. No, only had more than 900 yards. No, never had more than 900 yards in the season. And 2023 was his only good year. If I give Brian Thomas a little bit of grief for his PFF ranking, I have to do the same for Mitchell. You guys want to guess where he ranked out of in college last year among wide receivers?
86th.
Way lower. Not even close.
190.
232.
That's good.
Yeah, that's what you want to see out of your first round wide receiver, Aaron. Aaron, you feel good about it now?
Love it. Love it. Okay.
Yeah. Well, the good thing here is that no part of the process is the entire process. The combine matters somewhat. The your draft capital matters. you know, your what you did in college matters, that production matters, where these other analytics sites have you matters. It's all part of the process that we all use to get our guys here. But, you know, as far as him getting drafted, I have him kind of right on that cusp that you guys were talking about, that 112 to early second round range for him. Just can't ignore the draft capital and the landing spot, at least in the long run. So any last thoughts on Mitchell here on that kind of cut line of the first and second round in Superflex drafts this year?
No, I think that's an appropriate spot considering the capital and the landing spot. I mean, if Aaron was in every draft, maybe he's a mid-first round pick.
Hey, I was on record saying I want him in the second round. So, I think you got to be patient with Kansas City wide receivers and kind of see how they pan out. You know, it's tough to gamble on the Kansas City wide receivers right now.
Yeah, go send a third round pick out for Sky Moore right now, everybody. That's what Aaron's telling you to do. But yeah, in all seriousness, this was a fun exercise to blast through here. These mock drafts are great. We're happy it's finally April. It's draft month. In a few weeks, we're going to have landing spots for these guys, which is the final piece of the puzzle. And then we'll be on to rookie draft season, which is going to be a ton of fun. So make sure you're sticking around with us here at Sunday Surefire to never miss a moment of our content here, folks. But until next time, peace.